multi-layers of finance for cultural heritage. It's one of the ideas that my colleague Mykola Knyazhetsky is also referring to be able to absorb different sources of finance, both from European Union, from the state, and from local authorities. And I think it's also the way to proceed with cultural heritage. And another thing that we would like to ask the advice and maybe practical examples, how you work with private equity, how you work with businesses that are, you know, opening like hotels, for example, in old castles, how it's being done in different countries of European Union, because we want to work on the basis of the private and a public partnership, because it's impossible to restore all of these objects just with money from the state or even from the European Union. I'll stop here and thank you for coming again. And I think we'll continue. Maybe we can do the joint sitting in Brussels one time.
Зараз я хотів би попросити, я не знаю, чи погодиться мій колега і давній мій друг Микола Леонідович Княжицький, голова комітету з питань культурної політики. Завдяки Миколі Леонідовичу ми маємо тут, не знаю, як не дві третини всієї нашої насиченої програми. Ну, взагалі у нас потужне львівське представництво в комітеті, тому я від нас всіх всім львів'янам дякую і вам, Софія Романівна, і Володимиру Михайловичу, звичайно. Він у нас лобіст Львова в міністерстві, в комітеті нам. У нас достатньо, значить, львів'ян. Тому ще раз подякуємо, Володимирович, будь ласка, вам слово.
So I would like to ask Mr. Mykola Knyazhetsky, the chair of the subcommittee of cultural policy, and we have been working together. So please, your word.
Thank you very much. Dear Vice President Pons, dear Chiara, dear all foreigner participants of our meeting, thank you very much for your assist, supporting. It's really important for us, and I continue in Ukrainian. Я хотів звернутися до пана Івана. Дуже добре і прекрасно, що ми створюємо фонд. Але що саме фонд має захищати, маєте визначити ви і ми.
Thank you very much, everyone. But I would like to start my conversation from turning to Mr. Ivan Verbitsky. Can you please tell me what are we going to protect with this foundation? So it's wonderful that we are creating a such foundation, but we and you have to think of what can be protected.
Це стара карта культурних цінностей і музейної справи в Україні станом ще на 2016 рік.
So this is the old map of 2016 on cultural heritage and different museums in Ukraine.
Ви бачите, що
cultural objects.
Cultural objects.
Ви бачите, що в сфері управління Міністерства культури було лише 15 музеїв і 24 заповідника. А загалом по Україні їх було 2563. Бачите, з одного боку написано 1524, з другого 2563.
So in Ukraine we had 15 museums and we had 24 reserves and we also had 2500
Six. No, in перші це в системи Міністерства культури.
Це навіть рівня.
Це не, але так, ну, так. Окей. Ми маємо музеї, яким управляє Міністерство культури, а також органи місцевого самоврядування, інші міністерства, інші відомства.
Okay, so 15 museums is according to that are under Ministry of Culture of Ukraine, and 2,563 museums that are in this register of all museums according to different local organizations.
І інші міністерства, там вони написані, бачите, і Міністерство освіти, і Міністерство економічного розвитку, їх є багато.
So they are under different ministries, so Ministry of Education, Ministry Like there is a list of different ministries, not just ministries.
Сьогодні ми були, наприклад, в одній з найбільших бібліотек України, яка є більша за національну бібліотеку Польщі, але вона не підпорядковується Міністерству культури, а Академії науки Міністерства освіти.
So we have been today in the biggest library of Ukraine, which is bigger than the National Library of Poland, but it's not under the Ministry of Culture, it is under the Ministry of the
Academy of Science.
And Academy of Science.
Там, наприклад, найбільша колекція карт від 14 століття в Східній Європі.
For example, there is the collection of maps, the biggest collection in Europe, from maps of the 14th century.
Завтра ми будемо в архіві, який підпорядковується Міністерству юстиції, де зберігаються унікальні матеріали від 16 століття, яких не збереглося ніде в Європі.
And already tomorrow we'll go to the archive, which is under the Ministry of Justice, where are archives since the 16th century. So there is nothing like that in Europe.
І туди теж може прилетіти ракета.
And it can also be targeted by a missile.
Чи знаємо ми, що стало з тими 80 музеями, які були в Луганській області? Бо тоді окупованою була лише її частина, яку ви бачите.
Do we know what has been to the 80 museums that were in the Luhansk region? Because on this map you can see that only the part was occupied of the Luhansk region, and now it's all occupied.
Або з цими 93 музеями в Донецькій області.
Or these 93 museums in the Donetsk region.
Чи знає про це Міністерство культури?
Does the Ministry of Culture know this? Is it
Я не переконаний в цьому.
I'm not sure of that.
Чи знає Міністерство культури, як ведеться оцифрування в найбільшій українській бібліотеці? Сьогодні пан заступник побачив, він тільки почав працювати. Але раніше нікого з Міністерства культури там не було.
So, the question is, does the Ministry of Culture know of our biggest library? And so the Deputy Minister was already there today, but before that, the Ministry of Culture wasn't there and wasn't aware of that.
Тому головне завдання для міністерства – це розробити політику збереження культурних цінностей по всій Україні, які належать не тільки їм, а загалом знаходяться в країні.
So the main policy that has to be created from the Ministry of Culture is to protect not just cultural heritage that is under their control, but the cultural heritage which is around all Ukraine.
А це і збереження.
And this is a preservation.
Пошук вкраденого.
This is looking for the stolen objects.
Відродження зруйнованого, відбудова.
Restoration of the ruined objects.
Показ наших виставок і культурних цінностей в Європі для того, щоб світ знав, що таке Україна.
Exhibitions of our objects in Europe to show and represent Ukraine in Europe.
Але і робота з нашими дітьми і з нашою молоддю, які повинні відвідувати ці музеї.
But it's also work with our children and our youth that has to visit those museums.
Хто знає, де ховають експонати найбільшого музею медицини, який належить Міністерству охорони здоров'я, а не Міністерству культури? Я думаю, ніхто.
What about the exhibits that are in that are under the Ministry of Medicine and Healthcare, and nobody knows what's with them?
Тому я думаю, що дуже правильно було б, щоб Міністерство культури почало цю роботу над формуванням єдиного переліку культурних цінностей, культурних закладів, моніторингом того, що там відбувається, організацією і збереження, і відцифрування всього, що знаходиться в цих закладах.
So I think it is crucial that the Ministry of Culture can create the overall list of our cultural heritage objects and also monitor what's going with them and also put them in the digital register.
І це може бути частиною завдання цього фонду.
That can be the part of this foundation process.
Дякую.
Thank you very much.
Дякую, Микола Леонідович. Колеги, рухаємось далі.
Депутати, ви можете?
Будь ласка, Юрій Олексійович, якщо є бажання, звісно. Юрий Сергеевич Павленко, член нашого комітету.
So, Mr. Юрій Павленко, our member of our committee.
Юрій Павленко, простий народний депутат.
The member of the...
Тобто не зліво. Буває, не всім везе.
Шановні гості, радий вас вітати. Пане віце-президенте, пане голова ЮНЕСКО, колеги. Насамперед, від себе особисто хочу подякувати європейським організаціям за сьогодні підтримку України. І ваш візит цьому свідчить.
So thank you very much, dear colleagues. Thank you, Vice President and the representative of UNESCO. It is a great honor to be today, and I want to also thank you, different European organizations, for the support of Ukraine in these terms. And this visit just marks this support.
Декілька думок до даної дискусії. На жаль, я ці 3,5 роки був причетний до тих наказів і дій, в результаті яких руйнувалася культурна спадщина України. Школи, церкви і культурна спадщина.
So, unfortunately, I for 3.5 years have been this person who has been working for these declarations and different decrees. To when our culture was ruined, when our schools were ruined, our churches were ruined, and unfortunately we didn't work the right way.
Тому хочу в першу чергу колег європейських звернути увагу, що інтенсивність бойових дій є настільки високою, що не залишається камня на камні від населених пунктів, які знаходяться на лінії бойового зіткнення.
So I would like to draw the attention of our European colleagues that the intensity of warfare is such that there is no stone on another stone on the line of connection.
Да. І руйнівні засоби, вони щодня удосконалюються, і їх кількість збільшується.
And these means for ruining different objects, in particular also cultural objects, are only being increased and improved.
Тому перша моя позиція: не треба чекати там 26-го року чи 27-го, бо його для багатьох населених пунктів може не настати. Все, що може сьогодні європейське співтовариство зробити і допомогти сьогодні, це треба робити сьогодні.
And my first idea is that we should not wait till 2026, 2027, because some of these places may not exist till this time. Some of these little cities or some of these villages might be wiped out from our earth. And that's why I would like to ask the European organizations to start helping now and not wait for the particular moment, and I would like to show the map.
Сьогодні Херсон, Запоріжжя, Дніпропетровськ, Харків, Суми і Чернігів знаходяться в зоні можливого повного знищення.
So, I would like to stress that Херсон, Запоріжжя, Дніпро, Харків and Суми, all these regions, and Чернігів are on the verge that they may be wiped out from earth.
Там знаходяться величезні багатства, не тільки України, а світу.
There is a lot of treasures, not just of Ukraine, but of the world.
Тому діяти треба вже сьогодні.
So we have to
take of what we are talking about, can you show me the map which are the areas that the Russians are occupying now?
Які окупували вже?
Окуповані десь.
These areas are occupied, as you can see.
I understand perfectly what you are saying.
And actually, to take into account that the 20-kilometer zone in Chernihiv and Sumy region are heavily bombarded by drones and missiles.
These are like partly occupied, and others, for example, Chernihiv and Sumy region, they are very close to the front line, and they are heavily bombarded. The previous like regions were mentioned that they are at risk of being ruined.
Ну, тобто сьогодні вже не просто шахет, не лише шахет і ракета є загрозою. Сьогодні КАБ, бомба 250, 500, 1000, да, цього кілограм летить на 170 кілометрів.
Вже на Одещину прилітало.
На 170, ну КАБ, який неможливо збити. Просто авіаційна бомба залітає 170 кілометрів.
So, and we need to understand that it's not just the risk of Shahed or missile, as it was before, but different types of bombs, like for 500 or 1,000 kilograms, that can reach 170 kilometers. And, for example, we had it already in Odessa.
Ну, вона залітає скрізь, вони скрізь сюди летять, в усіх цих містах.
So these cities that have been mentioned earlier were already attacked by these kinds of bombs.
And the regions that they are occupying, they are destroying everything that they find there.
Вони руйнують все, що вони знаходять? Чи що відбувається з тими предметами, якимись об'єктами?
На лінії розмежування?
Ні, час бояра вже немає, Бахмута немає.
Так, це зараз так. Тому там, де зараз бойові дії, там не залишається нічого.
Okay, where we have the warfare, there is nothing left. So everything wiped out.
Тому це така перша важлива позиція. Тут не можна тягнути. Закінчу. І друга позиція. Те, що на окупованих територіях. Так, воно руйнується, воно грабується, воно вивозиться в Росію, грабується різними способами. От.
So, this was the first position, and it's very important for you to understand. And another second position is that a lot of things, a lot of objects that are under occupied territories, they are either ruined or stolen to Russia, or generally stolen dispute.
Ну і третє, ми сьогодні формуємо, тут в Україні формується нова, я думаю, європейська світова спадщина.
So, and right now, my third position is that in Ukraine, here, we are forming the new European heritage.
Яку будуть вивчати через 400 років.
That you will...
Наші нащадки нею пишатися.
And this world heritage will be studied in many years, and our descendants will be proud of us and proud of these objects.
Але тут теж залежить від того, яким чином ми сьогодні підтримуємо всі емоції, культурні емоції, горя, щастя, величезного горя, величезного щастя, які є у українця.
And that also depends how do we support our cultural emotions, so also cultural happiness or cultural sadness of every Ukrainian, as it also shapes this culture.
Thank you very much.
Дякую, дорогі друзі. Колеги, будемо переходити до другого розділу. На жаль, ми вже майже вибили з графіку. Я тільки хотів, I would like to press here that really the problem of responsibility of people, of Russian officials who are responsible for stealing of Ukrainian cultural objects is rising, and unfortunately we have already first signals from Europe that people from Hermitage, from top management of Hermitage, again started to visit Europe, and these people are passed, their names are passed by our special services to Interpol. Because they are purely and directly responsible for stealing our cultural objects from museums on occupied territories.
and Russians even don't hide. They publish the lists of these like they say newly discovered cultural objects. What means stolen? Stolen, newly discovered, and they publish it as parts of their collections. So that's why we will be very thankful if also European Parliament and the committee will keep it in focus of your attention. Of course, we will raise this question on the level of international interparliamentary organizations, but I think that here we have to unite our efforts so that people who are responsible for destroying Ukrainian cultural sphere couldn't run out of responsibility.
It's been a very interesting contribution. I was looking into my phone just to find how to say in English the name of a whale. It's called beluga.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to tell you that the two belugas, the two whales of the Kiev Aquarium are now in custody.
Mm-hmm.
They brought them, and it was not an easy operation to take two whales bigger than this room in a plane from Kiev to Valencia. They were sleeping and inside underwater, and they took them in a plane, two whales in a plane. But we are ready to send them back after the war.
Thank you for saving. Thank you for saving.
Take the whales.
Yes.
Take the whales.
Thank you for your colleagues. Let's move. Let's move. Oh yeah, Chiara, please.
Yeah, maybe just to give to Vice President a concrete idea of quantities, because we mentioned 1,000 objects, but actually according to the rapid damage and need assessment done in cooperation with Ukraine and UN and EU, actually for cultural sector, and this is coordinated by UNESCO, at December 5,483 assets. These are assets damaged. So and this is not exhaustive, of course, no? So the areas which are more under impact.
And we don't have all the information that we should about the frontline.
We know how many objects are not reachable in areas occupied, but we don't know the full
status.
What's
happening in the other side?
So let's, colleagues, move to the second part of our meeting, and it's dedicated to the influence of social media on children and teenagers. What challenges we are facing in this sphere, and
I would like to ask you if it's possible. We have a video from our colleagues.
Yes. This is exactly here.
If it's possible to begin with our colleagues online.
Yeah, sure. So this is how it was planned. So let's start with the video statement, or maybe with the. We have one record, and we have colleagues.
Let's begin with the video.
So let's start with the video address by a member of Committee for Culture and Education of European Parliament, Mr. Sandro Ruotolo. Yes, it.
Buongiorno a tutte e a tutti. Mi dispiace molto non poter essere con voi oggi, ma ci tengo comunque a inviarvi questo video messaggio per condividere alcune riflessioni su un tema che considero di fondamentale importanza, la sicurezza online dei giovani. In questo momento al Parlamento europeo stiamo lavorando su una relazione di cui sono relatore, che affronta l'impatto dell'ambiente online e dei social media sui giovani. Oggi più che mai la vita dei ragazzi e delle ragazze si svolge anche online, oltre l'80% dei giovani in Europa utilizza quotidianamente i social media. Le piattaforme digitali offrono opportunità straordinarie, ma allo stesso tempo espongono a rischi sempre più concreti: cyberbullismo, disinformazione, dipendenza dai social media, violazioni della privacy e contenuti che alimentano odio e discriminazione. Noi al Parlamento europeo abbiamo il dovere di garantire un ambiente digitale sicuro, trasparente e umano. Con il mio lavoro sto cercando di promuovere un approccio che unisca tutela e libertà, regole e diritti. Dobbiamo essere attenti a non scaricare tutte le responsabilità sui genitori, che devono essere aiutati, specialmente quelli appartenenti a famiglie più vulnerabili. Per questo serve anche una regolamentazione chiara per le piattaforme, che devono essere trasparenti su come funzionano i loro algoritmi e su come gestiscono i contenuti. E serve una visione, quella di un'Europa che non si limita a rincorrere le grandi piattaforme, ma che indica una direzione, difende i diritti digitali come nuovi diritti civili e promuove una cultura del digitale che metta al centro le persone, non i profitti. Le regole però non bastano se non c'è l'istruzione digitale e l'alfabetizzazione mediatica. Dobbiamo investire di più in questi programmi, perché solo così i giovani potranno essere protagonisti consapevoli della società digitale. Proteggere i più giovani significa difendere il futuro della nostra democrazia. Vi ringrazio per l'attenzione e vi auguro una buona continuazione dei lavori. Buongiorno a tutte e a tutti.
Very good address. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Colleagues, Madam Glavak or Mr. Papandreou, if you are still with us, I would like to pass the floor to you. Sunchana, would you like to, please?
Yes, thank you very much once again. First of all, to answer the question regarding the financing of castles or privacy on it, just a minute about that. So the operation program, competitiveness and cohesion program 2021-2027 finance private projects as well, not only public ones. So. First that. So the second, the question of how to protect young people and our society from harmful effects of the digital environment and disinformation is, of course, crucial topic for all society now. In your case, it has an even more urgent and personal dimension. The war against Ukraine is not only being fought in the battlefield, it's also being fought in the in information space. So Russia's aggression has been accompanied by systematic disinformation campaigns aimed at the spreading fear, confusion, and distrust. In this space, young people who spend much of their lives online are among the most exposed to such manipulation. Across Europe, we are witnessing similar patterns. So in the European Parliament's Cults Committee, we are working at the moment on a report of the impact of social media and the online environment on young people, for which I'm group's rapporteur. In our report, we call for stronger algorithmic transparency, clear edge verification mechanisms that protect privacy, and European guidelines for the protection of children and young people online. Of course, we would love to hear your suggestions as well. But as you know, regulation alone is not enough. We must strengthen resilience through media and digital literacy, schools, youth organization, and public sphere. At the same time, we need to invest in mental health support for the younger generation, because digital pressure from bullying to online hate leaves deep scars. The EU's Better Internet for Kids strategy and the upcoming action plan, European Commission action plan against cyberbullying, which both play an important role in this regard. Let me mention, in Croatia, we are currently hosting over 27 Ukrainians under temporary protection, and among them, the highest share of unaccompanied minors in the EU. These children remind us that those who are the most vulnerable, children from far from home, without parents, are also the most exposed to online risk manipulation and exploitation. We have a duty to protect them, not only physically, but also digitally. You know better than anyone that that information can be used as a weapon. But you are showing that true resilience and education are the strongest defense. So if you have some suggestion for us or for me or for a vice president of European Parliament, thank you so much.
Thank you, Suchana. Mr. Papandreou, if you would like to take part in a discussion.
Yes.
Oh, yes, we are glad to hear to see you again. Yes.
Good, yeah. I've been following. I'll be very fast. I think it's a huge problem for Western society, the digital community for young people. And to go a little bit theoretical, we need to take on the companies and their algorithms, because these are addictive, not only for the youth, but for us, the older people. So the algorithms need Europe to take on those big companies. It's not just trying to control the children. Many countries are banning the iPhone from schools, which I agree with. And also in Greece, we're proposing no social media in England under 14. Ukraine must be a special case because you're at war, and there must be some comfort that the children have to get from this living underneath and worrying about the bombs. So it's a special case. You probably need more connection with the world because of what's happening. But in general, Europe has to take on the big companies and change the algorithms. That won't be easy because there's so much money involved. So we need to restrict, unfortunately, I don't like restricting anything, access at a young age, the way it's working right now. So those are the two points I would make. I think Ukraine is a special case, which you can enlighten us about. Thank you.
Thank you, Nikas, and I'm sure I support your idea and Sunchana's that we have to intensify our dialogue, because what I'm personally absolutely sure in is that only common policies can be adequate answer to the challenges that we all face together. Doesn't matter in Spain, Italy, Greece, doesn't matter where, or in Ukraine, because challenges are the same, and challenges are coming from the same companies, from one and the same sphere. So we have to definitely find common answers to these challenges. So now I'd like to pass the floor to my colleague and deputy head, Yevhenia Kovchuk.
I didn't know that I will have a floor, but I can't say, or at least I can ask a question, because I've been following the some signals coming from Denmark and France, where they have ideas on the national level to restrict or to put the restriction on the age when you can start using social media, and they mentioned 15 as the minimum age. So it will be more rather than question, and you don't have to answer it right now, but we'll be happy to get the feedback from your side, like how it's being shaped in different countries, or do you have this discussion at all? Because honestly, we didn't have this discussion in the parliament yet, but I think sooner or later it could arise. And Nico said that we are a special case. We are a special case, but also because there are so many young people who are using the Russian social media, Telegram, which is being used to actually, either by threat or for money, to find volunteers in brackets to go and, you know, put a bomb to the police or to the military,
kill
mm-hmm. and kill someone and kill yourself as well, because it's usually it ends up with the, you know, the
terrorist
explosion.
Suicide.
Yeah, it's
suicide.
Basically yeah, the you know, the terrorism. So we are very alarmed because it's part of the security, like physical security, also to children who are using social media. And also today we had it's a research that was published about the mental health of young people in Ukraine, and especially I'm alarmed because that's my daughter's age. The girls between 10 and 13 is the biggest the most vulnerable. I don't know why, like I didn't do the research yet, and I just had, you know, the quick overview. But that's the category that is under biggest emotional pressure. And
it's incredible what is happening with
yeah.
girls of that age.
Yeah, and also it's what you mentioned about women politicians or women journalists that are being harassed online. But usually it's the females of all ages that are being more harassed online than males. I'm sorry to say that, but that's true.
That's true.
I'd like to pass the floor to our colleague, Софія Федина, member of our committee. Софія, мені, будь ласка.
Дякую, пане Микито. Thank you so much for discussing this topic. Actually, being associate professor at the Department of International Relations, I'm also into the research of information warfare and hybrid warfare from Moscow Federation towards Ukraine. But anyway, if we talk about social media, it's definitely a very special dimension for Ukraine. Very special because on the one hand, social media, they give a possibility to react very quickly and to involve as much as possible, help, volunteer help and so on, and to coordinate actions all over the Ukraine. And especially if someone 5 minutes ago will post in Donetsk region that they need help, someone from Lviv will do immediately go and bring that help to the Donetsk region. But on the other hand, we have really these big challenges that Evgenia mentioned before. It's how through the social media, Russian intelligence recruits people for some different actions. Some of them really do some very bad stuff for themselves as well, through the bombing, through, for example, like that man who assassinated Andriy Paruby. Mm-hmm. He was recruited by FSB through the Telegram. For a year, there was this recruitment process, and finally he did what he did. And unfortunately, we cannot find those who ordered exactly this assassination. But on the other hand, many young people, many children are being recruited for different very abusive stuff, like maybe you remember that was a massacre, less kind of plague, the Blue Wave challenge, that the children were urged to cut themselves or to go to some skyscrapers and jump down. And it's a big challenge. And unfortunately, as we see, the majority of these challenges and the majority of these recruitments, they take their origin in Moscow Federation. And it's aimed at the undermining society itself. It's aimed at making Ukrainians, and unfortunately in many European countries it's also started, to undermine some kind of unity and so the people are not sure in tomorrow, and they cannot plan, they can't cooperate, they are eager to be subjected to further on propaganda and information influence that triggers to this disintegration. And it's very dangerous for all the European project in general, not only for Ukraine. As Evgenia mentioned before, it's one of the greatest instruments for the star, it's Telegram. And right now we have one of the projects of law in our parliament to make visible and known the ownership of all Telegram projects, because it's very important. If it is anonymous, you even can't go to the court. If it's anonymous, you can't find who is doing the crime actually, but Telegram unfortunately is widely used by Ukrainians and militant Ukrainians, and to that messengers it's very easy and very understandable, but it's at the same time very being used by Moscow Federation special services and intelligence. On the other hand, we also have these challenges with TikTok as of China origin. And on the one hand, it's like kind of the stupid fun, but on the other hand, they are very desocializing messages and many challenges that are dangerous themselves because of their stupidity. And how to make some frames for all the thing. It's on the one hand, it's a bit of discussion, but on the other hand, we have to protect our children. As a mother of a small child, I'm not giving cell phone to my child at all. As many children don't feel the parental care, but they being parented by the social media and by the cell phones. And I think it's poses threats for the future generation development, their brains and their vision of the future. So a big discussion, maybe not very very actual for Ukrainian society as we have to deal with the war, but I think it should be integrated into the parliamentary activities, especially in the joint communication with the European parliamentarians, to find out what we can do.
And now I would like to pass the floor to our colleague Vladimir Vyatrovich.
Я не буду говорити про дуже широке використання, шкідливе використання соціальних мереж Росією. Зосереджусь тільки на одному аспекті використання Росії соціальних мереж для впливу на виборах в тих чи інших країнах.
So I will not dive into using the social media on the general aspect. I will be discussing just the social media and how it affects different countries and their voting and how Russia has their foot in that.
Ми вже близько 10 років говоримо про те, що Росія використовує соціальні медіа, соціальні платформи для впливу на виборчі процеси в Сполучених Штатах Америки, в Європі, в Румунії, в Молдові, в Грузії, в Чехії, в Словаччині, в Угорщині. І, на жаль, досі це просто розмови про окремі кейси. Тобто досі за цих 10 років не було жодної спроби узагальнення досвіду, як власне Росія використовує соціальні медіа для впливу на виборчі процеси в демократичних країнах.
So already 10 years we have been witnessing that Russia has been using social media as a tool to influence voting in such countries as US, Romania, Moldova, Czechia, Slovakia, Hungary, and these are just specific cases, and we haven't yet had a general overview how exactly is it influencing and what tools is it using.
Я впевнений, що вже настала пора якось узагальнювати цей досвід і на підставі цього узагальнення вибудовувати якісь спільні інструменти протидії.
So I am sure that it is high time that we use this general expertise and that we gather all this information for our joint response to these use.
Я не знаю, коли будуть вибори в Україні, тому що не знаю, коли закінчиться війна в Україні, але я не маю сумніву, що коли б ці вибори не були, буде величезне бажання і величезний ресурс Росії кинути на те, щоб вплинути на результати виборчого процесу в Україні, в тому числі через соціальні медіа. Тому Україна є однією з найбільш зацікавлених країн, щоб ми на той момент якомога ближче підійшли до вибудування якихось інструментів протидії цьому деструктивному впливу на виборчі процеси в Україні.
So I'm not sure when the election in Ukraine will take place, but I am confident that when the election will be present, then Russia will find the resources and Russia will have great desire to undermine Ukraine election processes. And we need to work on some tools to respond appropriately and respond together.
Тому пропозиція, прохання до наших європейських колег виступити ініціаторами, майданчиком для обговорення саме такого, можливо, дуже сфокусованого, конкретного аспекту використання соціальних мереж, деструктивного використання соціальних мереж в виборчому процесі. Я думаю, що це інтерес Європи, інтерес України спільний.
So that's my suggestion to our European colleagues that you, for example, can initiate some platforms that will be specifically focused on the aspect of the social media use on this destructive weighs on the election processes. And I think that this is, has to be the joint interest of Ukraine and our European leaders. Thank you.
And if I may, very short notice, it's very important what Volodymyr just right stated, because we have a new generation, for example, of citizens that almost all of their life was during the war. And unfortunately, what do I see, especially with my students, that we have a young generation of people who soon will go to the elections, and they have longing for Soviet Union. And they say that in Soviet times it was nice. They have never seen that, they have never been that, but through TikTok, through Telegram, and through other social media, they have been imposed this vision. And actually, this thing I also noticed in Germany, especially with the far-right parties, when many people voted for kind of almost Nazi party, but where they have taken this feeling that it's right. So this is once again the social media work. And what we've seen with the young generation, especially in Romania and Moldova, how they, on the one hand, they were influenced by some vision of pro-Russian happiness, that means a concentration camp in reality, but the other people who are not subjected to that influence, they were voting for the European values. And it's very important to catch these processes right now, because they are becoming too active.
Sure, because my for economy of time, my last word will be only thank you. So let me pass the floor to you, Esteban.
No, I will give you the last sentence. I'm going to be very, very, very short. It's not only your problem. It's not only your problem in Spain. We have not hundreds, but thousands of young boys and girls, students from university, defending Franco regime and explaining everybody how well was our country under a fascist dictatorship. So it's not only Ukraine. I think that we are putting together three different things. One, we share these three different things. First is disinformation and hybrid war. We are suffering it as well. Perhaps not with such a strong campaign as you are suffering, because you are sadly inside of the war, but we are very close to that. And I think that the European Commission and the different national states are working hard on this issue. And I'm sure that they are sharing knowledge with the Ukrainian government, because very likely the Ukrainian government knows much better than us to fight against these disinformation campaigns coming, of course, from Russia, but in the future very likely as well from China. But, so this is not an issue for the cult committee. It is more that for those committees that are responsible for defense issues.
Or a democracy shield.
Or democracy shield, yeah. We need a shield for democracy. Second is protection of kids. And that's really a cold issue. We are working on it. I invite you to share what you are doing, because we will share with you what we are doing in the, on that issue. I know what France is doing, or Denmark, but if I have to talk sincerely, I should say that nobody knows what to do.
Okay.
Everybody's trying.
Not alone.
No, everybody's trying different things, but the result is always the same. We are discussing it, the national parliaments are discussing it. We have to discover how to protect kids from social media. And we are members of a cool committee, but the problem of current of our society is not a cultural problem, is the lack of culture, the real problem.
Well, let's work together on this issue as well. And there is a third issue that is not mentioned. It hasn't been mentioned. I mean, we said misinformation, and you've talked a lot about how to protect kids, but nobody has mentioned how to protect adults. Because we have to be protected as well, or we have to learn. I mean, I have a daughter who is 17 now. I've faced incredible problems with food, with eating, with her. And for those who have daughters, be careful with that, because social media are explaining them how to avoid to eat, how to do it in front of your parents, how everything, they have everything there. And they try to be as they see themselves in Instagram or in TikTok. It's terrible what they are facing. But how to fight against that if the mother is not watching TV but watching TikTok, and the father is with Instagram or with WhatsApp the whole night? I know families where you arrive at home and nobody talk with anybody. Everybody's looking at their device. So how to protect kids is an issue, but how to protect adults themselves, it's the key issue, because what are we showing to our children with our own attitude? Because this is the new drug, and we all are linked to it, engaged to it. Well, my last word, thank you for this meeting. We would like to continue it, and with the back of the president of the commission, but it has to be endorsed to the coordinators. I would like to receive you in Brussels and continue this talk in Brussels as we did before with the committee responsible for education of the RADA. So if not, again, with an online meeting, but if it's possible, the president of our committee is ready to invite you to come to Brussels and continue this discussion, and with the hope that in your visit it will be more than one member who will do the trip.
In our case, probably yes. So, colleagues, let me thank again all of you who took part in our sitting and our discussion online. Colleagues, thank you very much again for your input, for your ideas, for your interventions. Colleagues, thank you all who is present here. Дорогі друзі, я дуже всім дякую за участь на цьому. Наша робота сьогодні, офіційна частина, закінчується. Дякую ще раз. Ну, продовжуємо ще роботу, вже просто не в залі, а ще у нас декілька подій. Так, я знаю, що ми маємо зараз приділити увагу нашим медіа.
Колеги, прес-брифінг, тут там була екскурсія. Так. Хто хоче зі мною їхати в галерею мистецтв, поїхали в академію мистецтв.
Ну, прес-брифінг, треба ж
пізніше.